logo be emblazoned upon a magical talisman, no label shall ever impart its influence upon the triumvirate which constitutes the inquisitive parcel of this roundest of tables. We are among friends, and there be no labels here. Let the no label round table commence!
Well, this is Sean,
Miranda,
and Joe,
and
Zach Walker.
Yeah, woo! We're all hanging out with Zach today at the Fireside Lounge and Bar. I don't know.
Is
what
it
the
Dorn still?
I think
yeah,
so.
It is.
Is there a Dorn? Is that a guy or?
Carrie
a girl?
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. Carrie Dorn and Brandon Dorn.
Okay. See, I've never known that, so I'm already getting wiser.
Mm-hmm. So rumor is that he has an apartment.
He does. I just went to it for the first time like
what's
two weeks ago. Wait, was it the night of our show? Maybe.
Yeah, it was like was one of our.
Or it was some event like or no, it was going to the Wonder Bar. Oh, I had to do something. I can't remember. But, anyways, Brandon Dorn, he's married to my friend Ricky Stoner's sister Bailey Stoner, and Bailey I guess is my friend too. So. But those stoner girls, they were just wanting to throw a little like party for their mom, like just a cool little surprise party. So they invited me over. It was awesome, dude.
What's it like in there?
It's fucking cool as shit. There's a pool table. It's like a huge wide open living room. So like the back half of it's a pool table, and then there's like it's a nice little living area, TV, and like
a bathroom.
Nice kitchen and stuff.
A bathroom.
You know, bedrooms, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, that's reasonable.
It's cool yeah, though, it's dude. Cool.
It was all fabled when we worked here.
Yeah.
We weren't even sure it existed.
Mm-hmm.
It was like there's maybe an apartment up. We don't
you
even
worked
know.
Here?
Yeah, I was a busser here for
oh, really?
Like 3 years probably.
Wow.
Man, that's a long stint of bussing tables.
It was a long stint. I wow. was from 16 until 19.
Damn,
a
dude.
Here.
Holy dang. Shit.
And it was just fabled, you guys.
It was fabled.
That's
you know.
Funny.
Yeah.
Did you ever okay. sneak a beer here and there? Like,
No.
No law enforcement listen
was,
to this ever, so you're totally fine to spill the beans.
Typically, it was hard alcohol.
Dorns don't give
you can,
a shit.
You can hide hard alcohol better, so we would drink hard alcohol here.
Gotcha.
Because you can have a cherry 7-Up. And it's like a cherry 7-Up.
Because I know when I was bussing tables at Outback when I was like 17, we were fucking stacking up the good ones by the dishwasher back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. We had a...
Dude, this fucking chick never even touched her fucking kangaroo punch mango dick thing.
They would, they'd do Christmas parties here, and they'd like order all this wine, like the bottles, and
right.
then they'd just leave, and there'd be half...
Oh, yeah, because people could pour their own.
And
whatever.
Then I would bust the tables and just throw the bottles away. I can't wink on a podcast. Wink, wink. And, yeah.
Absolutely, dude. I think that's common busser practice
you
throughout
have to.
The land.
I think you have to.
I don't care.
I still My, think that you it's do. A party foul, even if it's your job to dump it.
Oh, yeah, dude. You feel so awful about that, especially when you're just getting introduced to alcohol at that age.
And you're immune to hangovers, so you can drink four different kinds of wine,
matter.
And you're like,
oh,
yeah,
oh, yeah for sure.
To me.
And the things that you go through for a drink
like,
that, you're not just dumping that fucking thing down the drain, dude.
Yeah.
Like the night before, you and your buddies just did unspeakable things for a homeless man for
right?
six of those. You're not throwing that away.
Typically, we just bought homeless people like a 40.
Well, that's what
I mean.
Doing,
that's,
yeah.
that's the only favor of it.
Sounds
like oh,
a,
that
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's unspeakable, right? Yeah. Anyways, moving right along. Oh yeah, so
we have you on here to talk about music or all things music.
Okay.
Because you are going to school, you have
yeah.
been for a little while.
Forever.
What are you studying?
I am. I can't even tell you what the name of my degree is. It's some weird liberal arts thing
mm-hmm.
that's a bachelor's degree in music just so I can get my master's degree in guitar performance. So I've got an associate's in guitar performance and an associate's in music education. And this is just the next step.
Nice. next level.
That I'm going to.
Nice.
So I'm going to Valley City State in North Dakota through an online program.
Nice.
And doing some music stuff.
Oh, no. Cool.
And then what's your ultimate goal to do with that?
I would like to teach at the college here.
Oh, you would?
Although I'm sure if they listen to that story that I just told, that probably
wouldn't. Oh, come on. Yeah, you can't teach at the university level without having lived some life.
No, they're all college, flawless. They all have a flawless rap sheet. Right? Everybody who teaches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my goal. I'd like to do that someday. And I teach privately now, and I really enjoy it. So I would just basically like to get paid more money to do what I'm doing right now.
Yes.
Hell yeah,
and
dude.
That's the route.
Zach is the best teacher.
And probably... Probably, I don't know. It's probably among the top two guitarists I've ever...
Top 100, for sure.
I've ever played with, so...
Not to mention he's the guitarist of a little band around here called Indie Soul.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty, all right. Pretty awesome.
Never heard of them.
No.
I'll Google it.
Google
is that
it.
How you guys ran into each other then, or...
Yeah,
for this podcast?
I taught. Actually, I thought you were talking to the beginning.
He was my teacher first.
I taught Miranda for about a year or so.
Yep.
And,
Oh, guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. That's
you
awesome.
You shred?
You never told me that.
I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. I was...
And then she quit.
Oh, man.
And then a little while later texted me like, hey.
You want to come play in this
band?
Do
you want to play guitar for this band?
Do you want to teach guitar on stage to a bunch of people that don't have guitars that are just rocking out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically. And
then, now I get your lessons for free by coming to practice with you guys.
I don't say that because then people will start asking, you charge, or you ask their, I can't talk.
You give them away for free?
No, I charge you the big bucks, mm-hmm. and we have to say that so that people don't come up to me and start being like, hey, right. I hear you're teaching Sean
Well, that's because I'm in your guys' band kind of.
The deal is you'll just have people be like, can I join your band? And
yeah, that's it. You have to be in a band with Zach to get free lessons, and so I feel lucky.
Bring something to the table.
Soon it'll be Indie Soul featuring 27 guitarists.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
And Zach will be pissing in a...
I know that
guitar
one.
Ensemble.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, dude, I know from experience that you are a great teacher because you got through to my dumbass really fast, actually. Within just one practice, I learned a lot, and then the next practice, I learned like way more, and then it's pretty fun actually to learn that much in one sitting.
Yeah, well, I love doing it, so I don't mind in the least. I feel like I have a different teaching philosophy than a lot of teachers.
Yeah, I'll take that menu, actually.
Take a menu? Yeah, thank you. I mean, a lot of... Whenever I talk to my students, they seem to have fun, and I think it's because I'm not like my old teachers who are like, you're going to play exercise 23 until you've perfected exercise 23, and then we'll do exercise 24.
Right.
I'm kind of like, let's play exercise 23. You should practice that. You want to play something else in the meantime while you practice that?
You
want to
learn some Sabbath, some shit that you really want to play when you get home?
Right. I do a lot of that stuff. So we talk about everything, blues and all that stuff.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, sweet.
That's cool, dude, because I just learned, I was listening to a podcast recently. Let's see, it was a Freakonomics episode, and they were talking about just, like, the tenets of, like, that dude Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book that said he kind of, like, laid out the, he first proposed the 10,000-hour rule, you know, where you have to put in 10,000 hours to become an expert or something.
Yeah.
And, like, that he kind of just, like, arbitrarily put that number out there, but, like, there's been so much research done recently, even by one of the doctors that contributed to that book, that says that, like, that's just that number, it, like, you people shouldn't just abide by that and just believe that for everybody, like,
yeah.
And what the most important thing is what they call deliberate practice, and you just have to, like, put your goals in mind, and, like, there's, like, different, you know, mental steps to take toward that, but, like, you deliberately set a goal that's hard for you to do and that's a challenge, and then you set out and, like, you do it, you accomplish it through, like, a couple steps, and then you just keep doing that over and over. But you deliberately, you know, practice, like, you fucking just put your nose to the grindstone and do it. And it's supposed to be a challenge, and that's how you get better. And people, like, there's a, I listened to a TED Talk, another one recently, where this one guy broke it down, and it really, it was cool for me, because this guy's like, how is anybody with a family and, like, a job and this and that, how are you ever going to find 10,000 hours to put into something? Yeah. He's like, so that, he's like, that in and of itself, it's too foreboding, and it's just... it's daunting. So he came up with this scheme of steps. He's like, so all you really need to know nothing, and his example was playing guitar. He's like, from knowing nothing to knowing, like, almost all the basic chords and being able to play. He played, like, this, this, like, just, like, a compilation of, like, 15 different songs all in, like, the same chords.
Yeah.
And he just, like, learned all of them and, like, learned all the lyrics. He did all that from knowing nothing within 24 hours. And it's just like, yeah, dude, like, you played a medley. That's what it is. Yeah, but...
A lot of times I feel like my job is almost a scam because, like, 90% of you getting better at music, not necessarily guitar, is you practicing.
Yeah.
Like, I can teach you things and I can suggest things that you do. And I'm definitely more helpful in the beginning to intermediate stages. But once you get to an advanced stage, like at the collegiate level, for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, my lessons have consisted of my teacher being like, I think you should play this song. And I go, okay. And then I practice it a crap ton.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's, yep. It's not like he goes, oh, well, you see, this is a D minor chord.
Here's the sequence.
I know it's a D minor. Yeah. It's, yeah. It's all me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a huge part of you doing it on your own.
It is.
Not to bash teachers, because I suppose I am one of those. They help a ton in the beginning. And one of the biggest parts of my job that I think help people out is I'm guilt. If you don't practice it, you have to show up and talk to me. And I'm going to go, you obviously didn't get better at this.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly,
so,
dude.
Like, that's another good part of having a
Yeah, you're the mirror
absolutely,
that holds them
man.
Accountable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I'm such a huge advocate for practice.
It's
a discipline, no matter what.
It's all there is to music, really, is practice.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that I teach you, you can learn on your own. It's a lot harder. I mean, you have to do all the research and stuff yourself. But it's totally possible.
I agree. Yeah. It's like, there's no substitute for having a skilled person like you that knows, like, all the scales and just that insane... You're, like, encyclopedic with your musical knowledge. So
thanks.
Just to have somebody, like, to immediately, you know, like, I don't think the most advanced robots right now could do that. It's like, you got to have a person there to just be like, nope, dude, it's this and
Absolutely.
This. And if you want to play that up here, then you can do this and this.
Yeah.
And, like, if you want this song to go easier, then you can put your fingers and play that chord down here. And, like, yeah.
Well, and a lot of that stuff is, like, when I teach scales or chords and stuff, I teach them the scale or the chord first, but then I like to talk about, like, why is this a scale? And, like,
right.
If it's harmonic minor or whatever, why is it harmonic minor and not major?
You get all deep with the
minor?
Chord.
Yeah, because, I mean, once you figure out why it's harmonic minor, you can make any harmonic minor scale that you want, because you know the ingredients, as it were.
Right, dude.
And same with chords. I mean, there's a reason why when we talk about chord progressions and stuff, you start going, like, instead of going, oh, that was a C, G, A minor, F chord progression, you go, that was a 1-5-6-4.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter what key you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You got a major chord, a minor, and then a major, or whatever, that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's the important part, why. And, like, in practice and stuff, when we have to change things, keys, that's why it's not hard, because we get why.
Right.
Right.
Like,
well, then you
why
can,
these things fit together the way they do. Then you can move it around anywhere.
You can give it a language in your own head. And
Yeah. That's why I always loved theory. And most people hate it when they get to college. They're just like, oh, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very, like, I have always been, like, technical. That's just...
Man, fake it till you make it. That's my... I seriously, all of my learning was just memorization.
Yeah.
I played the marimba, I played the xylophone. I mean, I was a percussionist, so
right.
It was like, if I'm not flipping the teacher off every time they turn around, I'm failing as a percussionist.
As a percussionist,
I'm screwing
yes.
it up. So
right.
everything that I learned to play, even on piano, everything, I just memorized it until I could play it. And then...
Could you read music then?
Nope.
No?
Still can't. and I can sit down and figure it out.
Sure.
And I know my scales.
Yeah.
And when I go to write music, which I do all the time.
Yeah.
I know it in my head, you know, I can write a piece and I can sit down and look at it afterwards, and which I have to do with my wife. I'm in a band with my wife. She's right. classically trained. Mm-hmm. So right. she's like, well, we have to know what key we're in. And I'm right. like, we don't have to know shit. We can bang our head on the floor, you know. I mean, you know, we can Kurt right. Cobain this thing and make sure. it amazing, you know.
Right.
But, so, and that's another thing I think is important is that with the 10,000 hours thing,
mm-hmm.
what is your goal?
Right, dude.
10,000 hours isn't a magical number. It's, that guy came up with it because, you know, he could probably look at a bunch of cases and say, these people spend about that much time.
Right. Yep, and that's what he did, actually.
But,
that's what happened.
I mean, you know, is your goal to write a love song for your sweetheart? Because mm-hmm. you don't need 10,000 hours to do that.
Right.
Is your goal to be one of the, make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because you don't need shit to do that. You
yeah,
can be
exactly,
wasted,
dude.
And you can be, have four right. strings on your guitar, and you yeah. can make it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you just drink enough.
Right, for sure.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I hit.
Wait, hold on.
Nah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, anyway, I think that it's important for people to understand that what your goals are as a person who is aspiring to be a musician are more important than any of the cute little sayings yeah. that like to get passed around. For
absolutely.
Example.
Like, what's your intent?
Exactly. And what you do, what a teacher does, I think that's so important, especially in the beginning. Yeah, you instruct, mm-hmm. you give the information, right? But the most important thing I think you do is that thing you said, the accountability.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make me practice when I know I want to play the guitar,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of also want to just not right now,
yeah.
is the teacher going like, hey, we agreed you were going to practice this, and I'm watching you, and I know you didn't practice this at all. So that's what's going to make you do that, mm-hmm. and it's going to push you, and you're going to learn how to play the chords, and you can write that love song you want to write, or whatever it is
right.
you want to do. But it's interesting how quickly... It's like just assumed that, well, you want to do that, your goal is to become a master at it,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's not the case.
Yeah, very yeah. true. And music is such a weird thing to talk about. Because like you said, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I was reading some article probably a decade ago in a guitar magazine, so I don't remember who the person was, but it was some very acclaimed rock guitarist, and he decided to take lessons because he didn't know anything about music. He didn't know the pitches on his guitar outside of tuning or anything like that. And so he wrote this article for the magazine, and he was like, I found out that most of my solos, I use this pentatonic scale or whatever. And he was all really stoked on that. But he didn't know any of that and had reached great levels of fame, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
And
exactly.
found it out afterwards. Yeah. What a coincidence!
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not a necessary...
Jack of clubs.
Five of clubs.
Ooh.
No, you're
thanks,
dialing
buddy.
It in. I'll do one more of these, too.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, you know, not to say that, yeah, you can just be a wastoid and make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe, you know.
Wastoid,
also, maybe,
that's a good word.
Maybe
Sorry.
You can also, you know... I mean, what you attempt to do, the fact is if you just pick the guitar up and without a teacher... You just pick it up and you dink around on it for an hour a day, you're going to get better
well,
at
yeah,
that,
you don't have to have
you know?
A teacher. It really comes down to your motivation and your intent.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can do it, obviously.
Yeah.
yeah.
That being said, a teacher's going to be like, hey, you want me to shave 10 years off of this
yeah.
process for
yeah.
you? Here you go.
Well, and they can also
yeah,
challenge
right.
you to push you farther
mm-hmm.
than what you might have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might have been just, like, happy and content.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, like, open you up to new things, too. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that I loved classical guitar, and apparently
I
do.
Classical guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You mean grandpa's guitars.
Grandpa's guitars.
Hells yes.
Because, like, I don't know. I had to play my jury on Monday, and I played a piece
How
called...
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Yay.
It wasn't too bad.
What was your piece called?
I played three. I played a prelude in D minor by Bach that was for the lute, and then I played a... study called Number 17 by
Fernando those are my favorite
Sword.
I love those
yes.
where you're like this one's called
number
17
right
yeah.
I'm gonna make it up this is what it's called
and
Thank
then
you.
I played my favorite is this it's a piece called Capriccio Arabe by Francisco Torrega. Thank you sir
damn so I like some
French grandpa.
Flamenco? Just kidding.
It's not flamenco. It's very Spanish-y sounding.
Oh, yeah.
I play it every once in a while. I mean, guitar being a Spanish instrument, a lot of our classical music is, is Spanish sounding, which is really cool. And that's one of my favorite pieces of all time. Probably played it 10,000 times. Not for 10,000 hours, but I'm getting
there. Yeah, did you? There's this band that has been here, I think, three times now. They're called Fish Tank Ensemble. Did you ever get to see them?
I haven't even heard of them.
Oh my God, man. If they come through here again, I'll definitely. But you should just look them up on YouTube, dude. They're fucking unreal.
They're really, really good musicians.
Yeah. Like their bass player, so they're kind of like gypsy style music, dude, and like, so, but they have a slap bass player. He plays a big stand-up bass, and he has been called, like, dude, I've seen it, almost every article about them, they mention this, that, like, he's rated the top slap bass player in the world.
Each one of them are,
yeah, his
like,
name is Jorge Stiapovich, and, like, he's so fucking nasty.
Each one of them, like, has albums that they've done, like, either on their own or with other musicians. So
yeah.
They're
cool.
Like... I wouldn't say they're a power group.
They kind of are, though. Yeah.
Like, each one of them is from a different country. And the violin player melts my brain.
Fabrice.
I bought two of his CDs that are, like, his other
dude,
stuff.
Dude, that guy.
He's done.
So him and the lead singer chick, Ursula, are married. Mm-hmm. And then the guitarist, Doug, which is what reminded me of it, he's also one of the top
Spanish
flamenco guitarists in the world. Like,
yeah,
dude,
I'll have to check him out.
They're fucking unreal.
And she plays the saw, right?
Yeah,
with
the scene. So, yeah,
she'll do these like, she does this. I don't know what kind of singing style it is, but it's like gypsy music.
Yeah,
and
dude.
She'll do these like they'll solo back and forth, and they'll do a call and response between, and they'll just like bounce it around, and she'll answer on the saw. Or with her voice.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
She has that saw dialed in like... And then she like finishes it with the saw. And you're like, no way is that woman playing the saw like
ridiculous.
That.
It is.
That's cool.
They're an unreal band, dude. Like, dude, one time, their second time coming here. So Brendan Lamb and Travis, back when we still had the Dangle Boys together... like, Brendan and Travis had kind of met them the first time they came here. They played at the Nicolaisen. And they kind of met him, I think, and stuff. And then, so the second time they came here, I think it was for, like, Wednesday Night Live or for Nick Fest, maybe.
It was Nick Fest.
Yeah. And so we made it a point to stay after. And, like, we went up and talked to him and just, like, got to know him at their little merch table and stuff. And we're like, you guys want to go have a beer after? And they're like, sure. And, like, we all went over to the Wonder Bar. We got a big table and sat down with them. And then, so fucking, it got to the point where it was just Fabrice, the badass violin player, and then Jorge, the bass player, and like, I think we kept him out a little later than they were supposed to be, but like, it started to get to like, we were all just gonna walk to Brendan's, because we had planned on doing that, we knew we were getting hammered, and then all of a sudden it just started raining like a motherfucker, dude, like... This unexpected storm, well, unexpected to our dumbasses, came through and just started dumping. And so we, like, stepped outside and we're like, oh, we're going to walk. And then we're like, oh. And they're like, you guys want ride? And, like, we're all like, sure, dudes. We just live up the street. So we hopped into their minivan, their little tour van thing. And they gave us a ride to Brendan's. And, like, the whole time over there, I think we... Brendan and I just kind of had it in our heads. We're just like, well, you guys want to like come in for a beer, maybe play a couple songs or something?
Oh, no,
and so like, they're like, yeah, we could probably play a couple. And we're like, yes, dude. So Jorge, dude, the best slap bass player in the world, grabs his bass, dude. And Fabrice grabs his violin, dude. And we all go into Brendan's. And, like, it's raining cats and dogs. And we get in the living room. And we weren't even there for, like, 3 minutes, I'll bet. And, boom, the lights go out, dude. The power went out throughout the whole, like, that part of town. And so we lit all these candles. And we all just sat in Brendan's living room with candles and played with these dudes for, like, an hour and a half, dude. Like, we kept him out way too late. And Fabrice is married to Ursula, the main chick.
They brought
like,
their daughter, I think, on that one.
Like, yeah, or it's their son. Like, he's just got super long hair,
I couldn't see. It was dark. I couldn't see.
Oh, no, yeah, dude. It's, yeah, but, yeah. But yeah, dude, that was like one of the coolest times of my life, man. I swear to God, dude, that was like among the top fucking things ever, dude.
That's way off.
It was so awesome, man.
World class.
They are, dude. They truly are.
They are phenomenal.
Nice. That's awesome.
That guy playing that violin. I mean, I've never heard anyone play the violin that fast, that well. Like 64th notes, and he's just riffing like it's just flying out of him like it's possessed, and you're like,
that's cool.
Holy shit.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just doing this fast, fast, crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then he picks it up, and you're like, he's not even moving his hand that fast. Oh, how's he doing that?
Yeah. It's
And their fish tank?
Fish tank ensemble.
It's
phenomenal. Yeah. I dare you not to love at least
seriously.
Two or three or all of
this. Double dare me. Yeah.
It's like, they're like, they have a really cool bunch of songs on YouTube. I think at like the LA Concert Hall or something like that. Or it was like some huge event.
I couldn't believe they played Casper more than once.
Me neither. The third time they went to the Aces when they got done, dude. Yeah.
When was the last time that they were here?
That was the last time.
That was for Nick Fest also, I think.
A couple years ago? Or?
Last year, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and I know, and they were back, and I mean, I told everybody that I freaking know. Like, if you miss
me too. I did too.
So did all five of them come?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Never mind.
Four. I have four friends.
Oh, okay.
Don't rub it in.
Awesome.
Didn't even get that.
I know.
But anyway, sorry. I just had to talk about that Doug dude's Spanish guitar skills, though, man, because that guy's world class on that too. So
yeah, he cool. like plays. He's like a studio musician Lomenco, and stuff too.
Yeah.
So he'll play like on people's albums, like all you know, whatever. He plays with Carlos Santana and shit like
Whoa,
that.
Nice.
That's insane.
You have to be so good to be a studio musician, because do you guys know Doug Bull? He's the trumpet guy up at the college.
Mm-mm.
He is
maybe
ridiculously good. He's played with like Frank Sinatra and
damn,
really?
Stuff like that. Yeah, he's crazy good. But he was talking about studio musicians, and they get paid like $1,000 an hour, but they go in and they're expected to be like handed the music, they play it like once or maybe twice, and then they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because they charge $1,000 an hour, you know?
Right.
So
they don't let them get to an hour.
No, exactly. They're like, all right, play this, and you're done. Okay, get out of here.
Yeah.
They're so incredibly talented, though.
Wow, dude.
Ridiculous. And you have no idea who most of them are, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you have to check the credits of the mm-hmm. song that you're listening to.
Right. Yeah,
they're not in it for the glory.
Yeah, exactly.
They might put a record in for their kids and be like, "You hear that? That's your old
man." Yeah, exactly. But it's like Zach's trying to do, just trying to just make money doing what you love, though. Really.
I got lucky. I mean, I don't make much money now, or maybe I won't ever. But
I think you will.
You will.
You're so good.
You will. I know you will.
We'll see.
Who would you say then were some of your biggest musical influences? What got you into guitar and?
Thank you.
No problem.
I started playing viola.
Hold on.
Too late.
Carry on.
Anyway, I started playing viola in the fifth grade.
Viola.
And I've started to play viola because there was this guy named Scott something. When I was in the fourth grade, he was in the fifth grade, and he wore sunglasses all the time, and he was super cool, and he played viola. So I was like,
I
want to play viola.
That's
like,
awesome.
That guy.
Right? So I played viola until I played viola all the way through high school. But
that's way
cool,
dude.
Did you grow up in a musical family?
No.
No?
No one in my family plays anything, really. I've got some, like, second cousins, one of which who was a music teacher for a while, and he played bass.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't anymore. Now he's an auctioneer. But I mean, that's it. That's really
that's
all
awesome.
I've got in my family.
He plays his mouth real good.
Yeah, he does.
he
does like
real
estate
fast.
Stuff too.
Nice.
But yeah.
So did you ever get a pair of sunglasses? Or
I never
just,
got a pair of sunglasses.
You realize that you were like, viola, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
You realize that there's not a huge...
How much better would my life have turned out if I had just bought a pair of sunglasses?
It'd be like,
and
check it out.
That was the cool
That
ass.
Nerd yeah, plays the viola.
Right. Sunglass right. classes, bro.
So I did viola, and then...
that's instinct. You can't teach that.
I was like not... I was not cool as far as anything goes. Like, my first album that I ever bought was Pachelbel's Canon in D, and it was like 12 different versions of the same song. That's awesome. And I would rock that every single night. That was really cool.
That's right, dude. I think mine was the Forrest Gump soundtrack. Well, we got like the what was the like 11 free CDs, but then you you got to like buy one a month forever.
The little club thing that they have.
Columbia House.
House, dude. Yeah. Right. So I think actually, I think one of my first tapes was the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves soundtrack.
Nice.
And then the Free Willy soundtrack. Nice. And then my stepmom.
Like soundtracks.
Yeah, back then for sure. Yep. Yeah, you watch a good movie and you're just like, wow, that's really good. I don't want any of my friends to know, but I love that song when he saved Maid Marian. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, and then like the Free Willy soundtrack. What was that Michael Jackson song in the Free Willy soundtrack?
Da, 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 right? That one? Oh, yeah. Or is that not the right Michael Jackson song? I'm thinking of.
I can't remember what it's called,
gonna,
but it was
really
good.
That's really
going
to bug me.
But then then I think my stepmom bought me a Metallica Ride the Lightning tape.
Whoa.
And like, I don't think she knew what it
and
was at
fucked.
All, dude.
Metallica?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my
That's
first
a jump.
Ones.
And then so, yeah, and then, so that was tapes. And then my first CD, my brother and I got 11 CDs from that Columbia House shit. And my, the one that changed my whole life was Green Day Dookie. That really was.
Oh,
that, like, more
you.
Than any
yeah.
other album. Mm-hmm. And then, but also the Forrest Gump soundtrack. That was both of ours to share because it was the 11th one, I think, because it was a double disc. And
I bet it was awesome, though, because it had,
Crash
like,
Crash Test Dummies. Mm-hmm. I think my brother got that one. Just give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. I forget that chick's name, but
It is. Will You Be There? That was the song.
Oh, yeah. Michael Jackson,
yep,
Free Willy.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just had to.
That's a good tune. It's a good
I didn't even
tune.
Know he had a song on Free Willy.
Oh, heck,
yeah,
yeah,
it was
huge. Mm-hmm. It was. We sang
I mean,
it in choir.
It was I was in, like, deal. The first grade when that came out, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, Zach.
Yeah, we sang a lot of Michael Jackson stuff. Heal the World is like, if you don't sing Heal the World, then, which that's
right.
not a Michael Jackson tune, is it?
It's yeah,
not,
it is.
Is it?
Yep.
It just had like 40 other
yeah,
people
like,
sing it.
Collaborate with them, kind of.
Okay,
like,
so
yep.
I was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
MJ. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude.
MJ all the way.
Man was everywhere. He was a ubiquitous force at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Zach.
So.
While you're eating your food.
While I'm eating my
let's
food.
Let's ask another question.
Okay. Continue on.
Bro, where was
you
I?
You were talking about your first. Tape or CD?
Yeah,
sure,
I got
a CD. You were.
Or are we talking about how I started playing guitar? Is that
yeah? Influences.
The end goal?
Music.
Oh, influences. Jeez, guy, we take a long route to get here. I played viola when I got into junior high, middle school. For all you kids out there,
thank you again.
All my friends were in guitar. There was a guitar class, and I just wanted to hang out with my friends. And I was like, I already play viola. I could play guitar.
I got this.
So I tried it, and it was super cool, and I really liked it. And I got to play songs that had, like, cuss words in them and stuff, and I was like, this is really nice. And then I started listening to...
Goes along with my sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. And then Dookie. Yeah. Dookie was a big influence on me. I really got into metal, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah, I went, like, Pachelbel. Then I went into Green Day and Blink-182, and then, like... Sum 41 and Good Charlotte and stuff. I'm not proud of that. but that was cool at the time. And then my friends, after that summer, like, that summer I came back and I was like, oh, I like Green Day. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're kind of on to this other stuff, like As I Lay Dying and Unearth and stuff like that, which was really...
That shit's cool, though.
Really way heavier than I liked at the time. But I put up with it, and they could all drive, and I couldn't drive. So every time we were in the car, they would be playing metal. And then I started to like metal. So I played metal a lot.
I love that. I love how it wears you down.
Right?
Like the first time I heard metal, I was like, man, it's really good music. I just wish that guy would stop screaming.
Right?
And then, like, at some point, some unknown point to me, I was like, I love it.
Right?
I love how he's just shredding
dude.
His vocal
right?
cords
oh, yeah.
for me, and I don't even know what he says. I don't care.
Sepultura made me love metal, dude. My... Yeah.
I went there
I
and then I went
that.
Back down like yeah. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not into metal anymore really. I respect it.
Yes.
I get that, but I didn't start paying attention to people who played guitar for a really long time. Probably until I found out that John Mayer was actually good at guitar. Because, I mean, he was that guy on the radio, and everyone made fun of him. It's a Wonderland, right? Yeah, and I was like, hey, who wants to listen to that? And then one of my friends was like, no, really, you got to listen to Continuum was the album. And so I started listening to Continuum, and it had, like, Gravity on it, which is probably my favorite song of all time, and lots of other good ones. He had some Jimi Hendrix covers on there, too. And so did that, and then got a live recording of him playing in San Francisco or something, somewhere in Los Angeles.
So.
Chewing. So yeah. I got that album, watched him play guitar, blew my mind. I think he's one of my largest influences. Unbeknownst to me, the first time I played with Mr. Robbie Love, he said that I sounded a lot like Jimmy Page, and so I went and listened to some Jimmy Page, and I was like, I do sound like that. So
that's I wish I was told.
Apparently,
that's awesome.
Apparently that happened.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no, I do.
Yeah, I was like, I do very similar things to what he does.
That's cool. I didn't know that. All I knew John Mayer for was Wonderland song, and I was just like, it's too poppy for me. And I didn't really start listening to him either until you, and then I started paying attention. I was like, oh, yeah, he is really, really good on the guitar.
He did more than date Jennifer Love Hewitt for a week. Well, yeah. Good job.
Or all those other beautiful
Jennifer Aniston.
Right? Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
God damn.
He made the rounds.
Katy Perry, too,
I think.
What? Yeah. That guy's just really mopping it up.
Yeah. Well, have you heard him play guitar?
There you go.
He could mop me up.
Which
brings us to our next thing. Why did you get married so young, Zach? Just kidding. Oh. Your wife is a lovely gal. I'm just kidding.
You haven't heard her play the guitar.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
You haven't heard her put up with me.
You haven't heard her put up with Zach's guitar.
That's why, probably why.
No, she's awesome as hell. I can see why you did. But, so how did you get just into the guitar then from viola? Like, through metal and stuff or through punk? Or?
I mean, this is the dumbest
guitar lab
thing. Yeah, with Stan Kerlin.
That's how my brother got into guitar. Guitar lab.
I started playing guitar, and I played guitar and viola from ninth grade until I graduated, but immediately started to dislike the viola compared to the guitar, just because the guitar was so much
more versatile.
Cooler, and the lame thing is that it was so much easier to express myself on the guitar.
Sure, dude. Yeah, man.
Or whatever, but I really...
It's more accessible, I think. I mean, literally. Yeah. You're using... More digits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, people who start overly expressing themselves on the viola become emo or just jump off buildings. You know,
their hair gets too long. Their bangs get tangled up in it while they're playing.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing. Their affected hair.
Just kidding. Dude, I know some amazing strings players.
There goes all our viola crowd. Damn it, Sean.
So you played it all through high school? Did you only do like? Just through, like you said, lab, did you ever try playing in bands at all? Or anything like that?
I did guitar, and I did guitar ensemble. I would play with my friends, and my friends had some bands that got kind of successful, but it was always, like, metal.
Oh, sure.
And I liked to play metal all right, but I didn't like to do it enough in a band, I suppose. The first real band that I was ever in was the one that I'm in now.
Woo!
You guys took my band virginity.
Nice.
You found the right one right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us didn't do that. See, a lot of us were up there playing for a long time going, why the fuck am I doing this with these guys?
I got way lucky in that regard, too, dude, with the Dangle Boys. That was just, you know.
Yeah.
That just came to be out of nothing, out of thin air.
Not so much with any soul, but Dangle Boys, yes.
Well, they were my first band.
I'm just kidding, I know.
And yes, I do look on those days with great...
fondness?
Fondness, thank you, bro. And warmth in my heart.
For sure.
But yeah, man, playing in a band with you guys is amazing. And even though I don't do much in the band, like, maybe one day I'll grow into it, but you guys are all so talented. It's just fun to come to practice and, like, learn, like, try to chip in where I can, and then, you know, make sure that there is an equal 1/5 share for me when we pay shows. I'm just kidding.
We got 6 beers on this tap. I'm getting my 1 1/5.
Right? Yeah. So, did you go into guitar performance as a major, or your major for college immediately?
Yeah.
You did?
I went in,
the end goal of being a teacher? Is that what you always wanted to do?
I have no idea what I was thinking.
Or you just knew you liked to play anyway?
I knew that I liked to play, and I was young and pretty drunk, probably. So I was like, whatever. I'm going to go to college for this. That's better than not going to college, right?
That's pretty much how I was, too, with vocal performance. It's like, I like to sing.
So that's what I did. And I got really lucky. I played, in guitar ensemble at the college for a year with a guy named Owen Graham, who is a ridiculously talented classical guitar player.
Nice.
I teach now with his brother, and we like to talk about him in angst because he's so good.
Oh, is that Douglas?
Graham, yeah.
Oh,
is
nice.
His brother. Both Doug and I almost despise Owen because he's so good.
Where is he at now?
Owen's in, I want to say, Texas.
Doing music, or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He gets, like, full rides to fancy colleges.
Wow.
But back then, he would practice, like, 4 to 6 hours every single day.
Mm-hmm. Boom, practice.
Ridiculous discipline.
Practice, man.
Yeah. And not to say that he hasn't earned everything that he's gotten, because mm-hmm. he has definitely earned it. He is mm-hmm. way good. We're afraid he'll come back.
And do what exactly? What are you afraid of?
He'll take all of the jobs that are guitar.
That's really funny.
So I played with him, and he was teaching at Wyoming Music, and he was getting ready to go to Stetson in Florida, I believe. And so he walked up to me one day and was like, hey, I'm leaving. Do you want to teach my students at Wyoming Music? And
oh,
I was like,
nice.
Heck yeah.
No shit.
Right
so
on.
I just kind of walked into that job.
That's awesome.
And I've been there ever since. Going on 6 years, I want to say.
Dang, wow. Dude, that is so cool, man.
Very lucky, very fortunate that he asked me to do it.
That's
wow,
cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Well, you deserve it, man, because not only are you, seriously, sorry to keep on that.
We had a deal.
I know.
You're not supposed to compliment me. Though.
Yeah, I know, dude. But, well, you deserve it, though, because, yeah, you are incredibly talented. And you are just a good teacher. Not everybody is a good teacher, dude. And,
yeah.
like, so you...
Talent and ability to teach are not...
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
They don't
it takes
usually
special
go hand
person.
In
usually,
hand. Usually,
yeah. one is sacrificed for the
mm-hmm.
other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have all these genius, introverted maniacs that are writing music that we play hundreds and hundreds of
yep.
years later.
Right.
Because they were busy writing in fits of, like, you know, genius.
Right.
They weren't teaching anybody, you know. They were just flipping
okay.
out.
Right.
Good.
Good.
Good. Good on beers?
I could probably do another one.
Okay. You want to do another one, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
And, I'm good at teaching, too. I think that it takes I don't know what I teach. I just teach things randomly to people that I know when it's applicable,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But I've been told my entire life. My parents have said that I need to just become a teacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you wanted to?
Yeah. I think it'd be cool to
yeah.
teach.
I would love to, too.
But, you know, I just, maybe, I think that someday I still kind of keep that floating out there, maybe, you know. I'll do the schooling necessary to teach, and that's what I would like to teach. I'd like to teach music.
Yeah.
Dang, that's way cool.
But yeah.
Then you're going to have to learn the theory, Joe.
I know, and I'm excited for
You'll
it.
You'll love it.
I do like it. I do really enjoy it, and I like having this bastardized knowledge of it that I do.
Yeah, sure.
And it'll click sometimes, and I'm like, yeah, that's a thing. But I no, just leave it there. Just, that's
See,
enough.
That's the beauty
you know.
Of it. When
but,
you have it, you're like, oh my
mm-hmm,
gosh,
mm-hmm.
it opens up new worlds.
Yeah,
it's
and
amazing.
I still, like, it's funny. I still have printouts that my teachers gave me when I was in junior high, taking my little drum lessons or whatever.
Yeah.
I have my rudiment sheets. I have my circle of fifth sheets. And I pull those things out, and I have notes written on them I don't understand anymore, you know.
Right.
But I'll still use that because I kind of, you know, I understand it sort of. I just, the reading part was, it just seems so time consuming to me. It was way easier for me to watch somebody play a thing and then go, oh, this, and I'd play it. And then there are a couple right. questions I'd have, and then that was it. I just memorized the whole thing.
Right.
So I'd turn to page one of my sheet music, and I'd play the whole song.
Right.
And then it's still on page one,
right.
you know.
What?
And it's well, funny, I think it'd be... talking about juries, the juries I played, and I don't know if this was intentional, but my instructor chose for me some really avant-garde, atonal, like...
Weird
stuff. And so, like, you know, where the sheet music has, like, these weird made-up notes and, like,
right.
you can just do this for as long as you want, mm-hmm. as long as you wind up here at right. some point. And then when you wind up here, that's the thing, that's what you're going for, and then you need to build some tension. Whatever you do, whatever. There's right. smiley faces on the page, and then
right.
you know, when you're ready, you do this, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I could just fake it through all of that, you know.
Right.
And it's actually funny, and I think I can tell this story now because it's probably pretty applicable. So I was, that's one thing I think is nice about Casper College is the scholarships they have for liberal arts, music especially, because that's all I know about, are phenomenal.
They are.
The fact that you can just be decent and
that music. Seven of Hearts.
Try again.
In high school. We'll wait.
Queen of Spades.
Ten of Diamonds.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah, thanks, we'll buddy.
I mean, I had a 1 in 52 chance.
Then 1 in a 51 chance.
No, but I think that you can be like me, like pretty average, and get as good a scholarships as you can mm-hmm. at Casper College mm-hmm. is phenomenal. And the teachers, the programs they have, everything, the facility. Casper College is amazing.
Oh, I loved it. The music program was the best.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what was I getting at with my...
a story you can tell now, you said.
Yeah, so the reason that I wasn't practicing was because I was in the symphony. That was the thing I had to do. I had to be in the symphony. They made you. So I played the timpani in the symphony. And then I was in... The jazz combo, and I was in, you know, percussion and music theory and oral theory and all right. the whole thing, right?
Right.
But I was in the jazz combo, and Tracy Fowle was teaching at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I vividly remember this when it was like crunch time. I was working two jobs. I had full, you know, schedule school. And I saw Tracy in the hall, and I was like, shit. Because I was planning on ditching and going practicing and ditching combo.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Joe, you know, good to see you. Good to see you on your way, you know. And like, you're turning around right now, aren't you? You know, and I was like, man, I've been, you know, flaking and I haven't been practicing and I really need to practice because I have my juries like this week, you know.
Right.
And he's like, well, you know, that's, we both know, basically the long and short of it, he's like, we both know that's bullshit, you know. And I was like, well, not really. Like, I mean, you're an instructor. You understand how important this is. You know, I got my juries. I can't just flake this. And he's like, let me ask you this. When, you know, whenever you've made it to whatever you're going for with this thing, you know, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish here, like, what are you going to remember? Are you going to remember how impressed everybody was that you did so good in your juries?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to remember jamming with musicians that wanted you to be there? And that felt the lack of you when you weren't there. He's like, what's more important to you? And I was like, God,
that's
damn.
Cool.
You know, he cracked that egg of knowledge on me. And I was like, all right, yeah, cool, fuck it. I don't want to do that anyway, you know. And I went, we went and jammed. And that day, we all tuned to the feedback on his bass amp.
Really?
He turned it, he plugged it in, he plugged in his stand-up, his bass, and he dialed the gain up pretty loud, and he just dropped his bass down in front of it, and we got this feedback, and he's there messing around, you know. And anybody who knows Tracy knew that he is an eclectic dude.
Yeah.
But he's just messing around, and it's kind of giggling. He's like, this is what we're tuning to, you know. And one of the guitar kids like, yeah, whatever, you know. And the saxophone player started tuning right away. He's like, we're not messing around. Like, this is how this yeah. is, you know. This is stretching the boundaries of what your comfort zone is and what you know
right.
to experience something that's like real, you know.
Right.
And that was the thing that Tracy taught me more than anything. Awesome. I didn't. That was the only class I had with him. He wasn't one of my instructors. Mm-hmm. He was just the jazz combo guy.
Right.
And that's, you know, he got me to scat. The little, you know, shaved head goth kid clomping around in boots and shit. And he got me to scat, you know.
Really? I hate
it. He just pulled it out. I know, me too. I'm like, I'm not going
to
use my voice for shit.
And I had to.
He just pulled it out. And it was, you know, changed me. Those things stick with you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That is.
And I aced my juries. Nice. Because I had this, you know, music that's like completely objective. Like, whatever you want to do.
So I have two Tracy stories of significance. The good one, I mean, neither is bad, but the one that really stuck with me is same predicament. I came into my lesson, and he was like, "You're not practicing. You're not getting better. What's the deal?" And I was like, "Well, I've got this theory test, and I've got to learn how to play piano now, apparently, because that's what happens when you go to music college." It's like, so I'm spending all my time practicing piano and learning theory. Because when I went to college from playing viola, I knew how to read alto clef really well, but I didn't know how to read treble or bass. And
that's all
had
there
to
is.
Work in treble and bass.
Alto is the weird one, yeah.
So everyone was mad when we started doing that because they were like, "Oh, I'm a violinist. I know how to read treble, but now I have to learn bass clef." And I was like, "Shut up! I got to learn how to read both of them." Like, I use this outdated clef that I'm the only instrument that ever uses this. So he was. I told him my sob story, and he was like, "Why did you come to college?" And I was like, "Because I wanted to get better at guitar." And he was like, "So why aren't you getting better at guitar?" So that's one thing that always stuck out with me. Then on, I always took priority in guitar. I didn't care if I got a C in piano or whatever. I was doing good at guitar.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, and it was just one simple thing that he said to me.
He had that ability to just...
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, that's cool. I've heard a lot of good things about Tracy Pfau, man.
Yep, I heard that guy.
So then the other story. I went to college with a guy named Dylan Potter. I went to high school with him, too, and he was in guitar. He took guitar lessons.
Dylan, I think. Is he, like, he works at the Nicolaisen right
now? No.
That's Dylan Llewellyn.
Oh, that's right, Dylan Llewellyn.
He moved to California, Washington, or somewhere. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in years.
Out west.
Yeah. So his lesson was earlier in the week, and mine was later in the week. And for 3 weeks, I would come in and be like, "Hey, Tracy, how's it going?" And he'd be like, "Hey, Dylan, what's up?" And I'd be like, "No, I'm Zach." And he'd be like, "Oh, Zach, oh, yeah, where do you work?" "Fireside, Tracy, I told you I worked at Fireside like 12 times. "Oh, you know what I love at Fireside? The carrot sticks, Tracy. We've had this conversation every single week. I know exactly what you're going to say."
So yeah,
that was my other experience with Tracy.
The carrot sticks?
You like the carrot sticks.
What?
I don't know.
Like just regular carrot sticks, not even like fried?
No,
like,
they
not
were,
prepared
like,
in
they,
any way.
They came as like this piece of lettuce. There was some carrots.
He is an eccentric dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, one time he was like, "Have you ever tried peyote, Zach?"
Oh, really?
"No, I've never done it." And he was like, "Good. The gods of peyote wouldn't agree with you." I was like, "Ah, God, maybe I shouldn't do peyote." It wasn't on my list. But...
Thanks for the heads up.
Have you ever done acid, Dylan? Let me tell you something, Dylan.
He was a crazy guy, but he definitely influenced me a lot.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Brent, my buddy Brent Eckerson, his dad Chuck, like they have that house on 13th and Ash there with the homemade train that goes around the house there. Yeah, like his dad built that from complete scratch. We're going to try to do an episode of the podcast with him one of these days here soon. But yeah, Brent's told me some cool stories about Tracy Pfau.
They were like best buds.
Yeah.
Because Tracy hurt his back on that.
His hand.
He did?
He always complained about his back to me.
He hurt, he hurt himself a few times on that train.
He probably did. Train a few times. Brent's dad, Chuck. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like Brent's dad, Chuck, he used to rebuild and tune old player pianos. Like that was his thing. And so him and Tracy kind of had that passion together where they would, like, find them, like, restore them. They were the only two people that could talk player pianos in this whole town, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like...
That's a perfect combination for them because Tracy's the eclectic music guy, mm-hmm. and Chuck is the eclectic, like, mechanical engineer.
Machinist, dude. Machinist, that guy dude. Is, oh, man. Yeah, that is a perfect combination.
So it's like a perfect, like, union of those two things, music yeah. and, like...
Is Tracy still culture. Around, or did he pass
no,
away?
He
or?
Died.
He passed away
yeah, I thought,
years ago.
I'd heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd heard that. Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously Brent's dad was pretty upset about that. And then Brent told me some story about something to do with Persian rugs. Like, I don't know.
I was going
to
bring that up. I would be in lessons, and he'd get this phone call. And he'd be like, hold on, I got to take this. And I could hear, like, weird language gibberish stuff going on. And he would be buying and selling Persian rugs.
No way!
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
he was in the Persian rug trade.
Big yeah, time. Dude.
Big time.
Yeah, dude.
Like, he knew like the quality of them and yeah. like what made a rug worthy and not, and had like buyers oh that God. Knew buyers that had jilted him because they sold him a dirty rug and like
yeah.
he oh yeah dude he was all that's and he had awesome. He had like that's one of the things when you go into his office tapes stacked to the ceiling just in haphazard seeming piles, but he knew right where everything was.
Right.
He loaned me so many tapes, I did not have a tape player.
That is so cool.
Then he found out and started loading me CDs.
I never met him because he was on the instrumental side. I was on the vocal yeah. side, but I saw him every day.
Yep.
And, you know, dude, I heard
he
nothing
would
but
get
good
into
things.
A rant, and he's he'd be drooling because he's he can't stop to swallow.
And he'd get the phone.
He'd get the phone
oh,
going.
No.
And I mean, he's like telling you a story about the power of suggestion and how people are telekinetic and they don't even realize it. And how
really?
Apples are actually freeze-dried and stored in storage containers. And an apple you buy off the shelf at Albertsons is 3 years old. And what do you think of that? You know? And we're late. Get your equipment and get in there, and you're like, son of a bitch.
Like,
you know?
What just happened?
I loved it. I love
That's
it.
That's awesome. That makes me sad that I never knew him.
Yeah, yeah, he is definitely one of the craziest guys I've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah.
He taught me one thing that I always remember going into music theory.
Yes.
An overtone dominant chord, which I thought was the coolest thing ever.
Explain.
So when you play a note, you hear the fundamental, right? But there's an overtone series above it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why harmonics and stuff work on guitars. The overtone sequence ends up, if you play all the notes together, ends up making this chord. And for example, it'd be like if you played an E, the overtone series ends up being an E7 chord and then an F♭7 chord. And it's both of those together. And if you play both of those, that's called an overtone dominant chord.
Okay.
I was just like, the coolest thing I ever heard. Because when you play one note, you're playing...
All
you
of
can
them?
Hear all of those.
Tons yeah. of notes, right?
Right, yeah.
And your brain just kind of filters them out. Which I always thought was very interesting. My world music teacher brought that up again because we were talking about headphones. And how headphones that are so tiny can make these big bass sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they trick you and they play the overtone series, but they leave out the fundamental, that actual note. But your brain pieces that together and goes, oh, that note's happening. But it's not actually happening.
Really?
So those bass tones, it apparently tricks you into hearing that that's happening. Whoa. But they're not playing
that
note.
That's whoa. Crazy.
That's right. Really cool.
Whoa.
Tracy Fowl, blowing my mind.
Yeah.
That is amazing, man.
Yeah, very crazy.
It's it is incredible. And like the way that humans perceive optics in kind of that same way, like your brain filters out, you know, just the way optical illusions work and things like that. Your brain filters things out to get to the, to like what it is, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, what it wants to know about
yeah.
what's going mm-hmm. on around it. And so the different ways that you can trick it, that's pretty, it's, yeah, it's like an audible illusion, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly what's also cool to maybe tie this all back together, when you're practicing, you're tricking your brain into to be able to do something that you couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like for me, when I'm practicing, I play the drums. When I'm practicing, it's very much just a mechanical thing, right? And all music is, but the drums I think are easier to conceptualize, just the mechanics of I'm playing the drums in this order,
yeah.
in this rhythm or whatever, right? And it's so. It's always been one of my favorite things about practicing is when I sit down and I try to do something and I can't, right? Or it's not right and it's sloppy or it's, you know, I can tell where the weak point is.
Yeah.
And I just say, all right, I'm just going to stop and do this. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play this rhythm, mm-hmm. right? Or this drum beat. at whatever, at the slowest pace I can play it at, right?
Yeah.
Until, I mean, it's just your brain just starts to absorb it. And mm-hmm. you start to break it down, and then you start to kind of forget what you're even doing. And then you're just, like, maintaining that body motion of doing
muscle
it. And then you mess up because you think about it. And then you're like, okay, got to start over, and you keep doing that. And after 20 minutes, maybe, I can do something that I've never been able to do before.
And
like,
I'm
it's
sure
never happened, and I've never been able to produce that.
Yeah.
And I can do it now.
I'm
know?
Sure it's because you've literally just... during that time built a neural pathway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this is what
and
you're
doing. And that's why it's
yep.
suddenly possible.
You're changing your brain chemistry to
yeah.
be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Can
doing
good. Another one. Thank
yep.
you.
You guys doing all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
And really, when you're practicing, all you're doing is you're beating your brain into submission.
Yeah.
Changing the neural pathways
yeah.
to say, this is now, I'm rewiring my brain
this
so that this is now
doing.
A thing I do.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to do to learn how to read music.
It is.
Yeah.
I know. It is.
It's that thing, dude. It's that deliberate practice thing. And, like, you guys should, it's one of the more recent episodes of Freakonomics Radio, which it's a good podcast. There's most of them are pretty good. But, it's cool, though, because it's so eclectic. They just pick from all sorts of different things. But this little series they're doing this month, it's all about productivity. And so they're talking about practice and how long it does take to get good at something. That's when I learned about that Malcolm Gladwell book and the 10,000-hour rule and all that shit and about deliberate practice. But, There's just a few simple steps that if you incorporate them, that make things so much easier. and it's like, it is, it's like tricking your brain into, we learn so much more as we go about, like with technology and psychology and,
how
you know, all the things
and...
we learn about. Mm-hmm. And like, so we're narrowing it down more and more to like have the ability to just,
well,
you
the
know,
brain
just
is,
hack into the brain,
yeah,
basically. Make it as easy
not,
as possible.
You're not tricking it. You're telling it what to do because
yeah,
that's
and
what
so,
we all can do.
Right,
yeah,
and we're learning more and more about
wired to do.
How.
Right,
to
it's
learn,
amazing. Like, if people realized, yeah, what they could do.
Yeah,
they,
it's like
they,
shortcutting
they
our
anything.
Way. Like, mm-hmm. it's like cutting off the fat and just, like, finding, like, oh, what is this?
But your brain is fat.
Yeah.
So what's that even?
Well, yeah, what's happening up there?
No, that's a good... I do think that that's a cool thing because... as soon as you realize that, and that's probably something you see all the time as a teacher of students, is the empowerment when they realize, all I have to do is try to do this enough times, and then I will be able to do it. You know,
right.
Yeah, there's a moment, and it goes across teaching in general. Because my wife's a fourth grade teacher, and we talk about the moment, but it's where it clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird, especially when you're talking about not necessarily technical things on the guitar, but like conceptual things, like how chords are made or whatever. And it'll be so confusing and so confusing, and they'll just be like, oh wait, it's like this. And they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Coolest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the aha
why
moment.
I teach is
mm-hmm.
for someone to go,
yeah.
I get why this is a chord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think I had a few of those breakthroughs just like jamming a few.
Well,
like at the beginning. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
The beginning. Well, like, you know, there's going to be a lot more aha moments in the beginning of the learning process. So, like,
mm-hmm.
but man, I had a few of those just like that first night of practicing with you, and I was like, oh, no shit. What? That's amazing, dude. But like, well, another podcast that I recently listened to, it's called The Hidden Brain, and their latest episode talks about this process called the WOOP process. It's WOOP, and it's an acronym. It stands for Wish, Outcome, Obstacle, Plan, and it's like it's a really cool learning process that that psychiatrists or psychologists have come up with recently. But like the first one, Wish. Something you really want to accomplish. A wish is exciting, challenging, and realistic. And then outcome, the best outcome that would result from accomplishing your goal. How would the outcome make you feel? Let your mind go and imagine this outcome. Then the next O is obstacle, the personal obstacles that prevent you from accomplishing your goal. Let your mind go and imagine this obstacle. And then the P is plan. What can you do to overcome your obstacle? Name one action you can take or thought you can have. Make an if/then plan and imagine it. If or when the obstacle happens, then I will blank to overcome that obstacle. So if you just sit down and do those four steps, like with anything, like I wish I could play guitar. Like, okay, it's realistic. The outcome is that I'll feel awesome. I'll get all mad chicks.
I'll shred, dude. Man.
Fucking awesome.
I'll have holes in my jeans. Like,
yeah, totally, dude. Or like a realistic, like, first goal might just be like learn, you know, a certain scale or whatever. Yeah. Or learn a song. Learn your favorite song, a 3-chord song. So then, you know, the outcome, awesome. I could play that song at a party. It'd be rad. obstacle. The personal obstacle that prevents you from accomplishing that goal, I don't know, like getting distracted,
playing too many
video games. I'm fucking lazy. Yeah. I just got a new video game. It's going to eat up my time for the next 3 months. So you imagine, and then your plan is, you know, when I get the urge to play video games, I'm going to turn off.
Instead.
I'm going to fucking, turn off the Xbox, play guitar.
Or play a guitar so, like, for a half hour first.
And the game will be, at the end. Yeah. So if you just, like, if you just do those four steps with everything, like, it can, you know, set you on the right path. And, you know, you're supposed to do that in kind of like a personal, you know, quiet, self-reflective sort of environment. But
yeah, I feel like it's all the same across the board. Everybody has their, like, plans. But it is, like, the same thing. It's, like, all it comes down to is, like, your intent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want that, you hold it and you take action. And that's it. I mean, it's that simple. And I it's cool to see how everybody breaks it down. But it's, like, essentially the same thing because it's the way that we're wired. And
yeah,
that's the way
it's your brain trying to do a thing. Yeah, I mean, your brain wants to update itself.
It does.
It's programmed to get better at programming.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And they say that, you know, to keep your brain elastic, you know, throw problems at it. Try do hard stuff. That's one of the things that I took away from the one actual drum kit instructor that I took. He was, I was in 10th grade, I think, and I took drum kit lessons. Mm-hmm. And that one I was excited about because I was like, cool, you know, I'm going to learn
this is actually what I want
to
do.
Yeah, rock and roll, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was teaching me a couple different ways to do stuff. And he said, you know, as we're kind of learning and I'm practicing drum beats and I'm learning how to read, you know, I can read drums.
pitches there.
Really easy, but no. So as I'm practicing stuff, you know, there was one point where he noticed, you know, I have this hang up with something and I try to get to the part that I could do well.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, okay, you're it's obvious that you've been practicing, that you know this thing, and that you like to do this, paradiddles or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love to do paradiddles, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. But he's like, you're kind of trying to skip over this part here because you're not super confident with that, and you don't. It's maybe doesn't feel right to you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're really trying to get to this part that you know well. And he's like, as somebody who wants to get better, you should look for the parts that make you uncomfortable or that you're not confident in, and that's what you should just play over and over and over again. And as soon as you hit a part or you find a place where you're not comfortable or you're not confident with it, bingo, you just found where you need to go. You need to play that 100,000 times. You know, that's what you need to do. Rather than the 10,000 hours thing, if you only spend your time really grinding the stuff that you're not good at, you know, then you're gonna excel so much quicker, you know.
Right.
A lot of problems that people have with practicing is they play the song from the start to the end because that's how the song goes, you know.
Right.
But when you talk about economical practice, that's exactly what I tell every single student ever to do.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we get done playing a song, I ask them, what was the hardest part? And we play that measure or that chord or whatever it was over and over again until it's not hard anymore. That's it.
It's really simple.
We just told you the secret to
the secret.
That's it, dude.
You play the hard part over and over again. And it's not the most fun way to practice by any means. You might hate yourself at a certain point.
But it's really rewarding when you're like, man, I couldn't even imagine doing that an hour ago, and now I'm.
And then the thing is, you can play the whole song perfectly, and it doesn't suck anymore because that one spot sounds like crap.
Right.
Exactly, dude.
And that's the goal, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No one's happy that I can play 3/4 of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear 3/4 of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody came up to me at the Wonder Bar and we played there and wanted to request that from you when you were up there by yourself playing.
Stairway?
Like, it's not going to happen, but I'll pass it along.
I can play About to the Solo, and I never learned that.
Part. That's the Jimmy Page part, man.
That's the Jimmy Page part.
Well, and another thing that you know that I think is worth interjecting here, also, which also I never thought that this would pertain so heavily to the podcast I've been listening to recently about practice and talent and stuff. But that's just one of the things, though. Anyone out there listening to this that might just think, I don't have musical talent. Well, there have been so many studies lately that have shown that if you want to play music or anything, music, good. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Great. Cool. You want to order something?
Order a mozzarella sticks to go.
To
please.
Go. Yeah. Okay. You want marinara?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Mm.
Sorry, that was way more important than what you were saying.
No, it was totally, dude. It really was, man.
That's good. He wants to get in on our podcast.
Right, I know.
Hey.
Like, what's going bad. On over here?
What's on over here?
they're finding that talent, although it is obviously an advantage, it's not. You don't necessarily have to have talent to be good at anything. And people kind of trick themselves into thinking like, well, I don't have musical talent. Well, if you want to play music, then
you can.
All it takes is practice. Like even something that comes equipped, like your voice in you, like people, this one lady, this was amazing on this podcast. She truly sang with all of her, she sang her heart out. And like, you know, it was a little dicey and it was like, yeah. And like after like 9 months of deliberate practice and truly working on her skill, like she sang and she was like belting it out. Like Christina Aguilera was her hero or whatever. She sang this Christina Aguilera song, and it was unbelievable. It was, like, so good. And it was like, that's what you can do with practice. Like, you don't necessarily have to have talent. You just...
Yep. What do you spend
not
your time
like,
doing?
You know, natural talent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody has innate talent. Like,
yep.
You can do it. Like, you just have to practice, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that there's kind of a myth around it, sort of, that people build up. Like, oh, man... You're so lucky. You're in a band and you're going on tour. You're so lucky.
Right.
Like, what do you mean lucky? I've been grinding, man. Like there's no luck in this.
10,000 hours.
It didn't, exactly.
Yeah,
it didn't
just happen.
Somebody to just show up and be like, "Hey, man, right. Turn off the TV. Guess what?
Right.
You're going on the road." It's
no.
Like, no, man.
It never happens that way. If you want to play, you have
you're
to play.
You're grinding.
Yeah.
And it's not about luck or being fortunate to be
not at all.
And that's. This, you know, this may be a tangent, and I'll keep this short because I have a lengthy rant about this. But it's one of the things that I despise so much about shows like The Voice and this kind of shit, where it's like these people that are like, you know, they're great and everything, and it's like yay or nay, and you get voted or whatever the hell. I don't even know how that works, but it's like cool, you made it, and all these other people didn't quite make it, and they get to cry together.
Right.
And I'm like, man. Where's the glory in sucking? I mean, I've been sucking my whole life, you know, and I'm in a band, and I love my music now, and I'm really good at stuff.
Right.
But I just sucked in a garage for years and years and years until I didn't anymore.
Right.
And that's how you do it.
Right.
All of your, you know, I mean, all of the people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they sucked for a long time.
Oh,
a lot. And they got there. Because they kept doing
they never
it, you
stopped.
Know, they didn't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't this. Well, we're gonna pick the best out of all 8,000 applicants.
Especially
kind
Kiss,
of shit.
They really sucked for a while.
Well, maybe they didn't stop sucking.
Yeah, I'm like,
no, but, you know, and maybe what I'm trying to say is that like practicing, I'm being crass when I say sucking, but practicing. When you do that over and over and over again, and you're doing that slow climb to get better and better at something, that's what's important.
Right.
Not winning.
Right.
And music and winning are completely. I don't like to even associate those things.
No, because you can play in a little town and have gigs and be extremely
and
happy and fulfilled
exactly.
because
yes.
you're making music.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be Hollywood and
exactly.
big stage and people.
That is some. I mean, I get it.
even right. though it will be
but
someday.
I dislike the image that gives to the 8-year-old girl who's watching that show every week, and she's like, I want to sing like her.
Right.
And then she gets ousted on the second round or whatever, and she's like, oh, crap, whatever. Right. And then they watch the winner, and it's like, no, this is giving the entirely wrong the message. The message isn't that you're going to get voted into something, you know?
Right.
Write your freaking song. Play, practice, get better, do better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Find the guitar player who plays music that you kind of like, and you guys start writing music together. That's what's important,
right.
you know? Not singing in front of a bunch of people waiting for them to swing their chair around. Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of garbage.
When we did that here.
I have.
And then we have hosts of a local voice.
I know. And we had a long talk with my wife about that. She's like,
I know.
This is heartbreaking. I don't want to fire anybody. I'm like, this is wrong.
It was
wrong. I'm morally opposed to this entire process.
And don't think that.
You need to go find a musician for every one of those people and say, quit this stupid competition and go jam.
Yeah.
Go find a garage.
Shit.
But
well,
save up
did,
and buy a microphone.
We did all say
that's
that.
What you can do.
Because we all had a horrible time with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did. It was really,
it was the worst.
Rough on all of
dude,
us.
Dude, like two of my girls that I had to cut cried, and it was
oh my God. And you can't really explain to them,
like,
well, this is just like our job are the same, but
it's
not.
Because, I understand it. If everybody has the context of what this is, right?
Right.
It's a competition. It's for
sure.
You know what
well,
I think everybody
did.
Do.
They did,
but that crushes
it still
them.
Sucked.
When you perform an instrument, especially when you're singing, because it's such an intimate thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the sound of your physical being.
And it takes so much courage to get up there in front of like a bunch of people.
Yeah, I don't have cymbals to hide behind, I ain't doing shit.
Right.
I'm not making noise at all.
Right.
But like. It's such an intimate thing to do, and such an exposing kind of thing that really crushes you. I mean, I lost at a lot of talent shows, and it didn't really matter that much to me, you know, or whatever.
Right.
That's a different thing when you get up there and you sing a song, and it's like,
that
was great, but nope, this other, you know.
Right.
And I just feel like that's such a huge thing to now have to overcome to be able to continue as a musician.
Right.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't either.
Stupid.
I was thinking on that, too. It's like, I wish I could think of something that I could recommend to them to do in place of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that will stop.
Yeah.
But
and they'll keep singing
like
in choir. And they'll probably, you know, whatever. It's not going to, you know. But, you know, I think that it's a different type of mentality that is a lie, I believe, you know, because it's entertainment.
Right.
And, yes, music is the way that music kind of gives back to the musician is the entertaining aspect of it. People go, I like to see you play music. So here, it's that an exchange.
Well, there is like,
you know,
I was going to say, there is an exchange of energy with your
audience. But when it's a freaking like voting kind of like ousting people until you have the winner.
Right.
And they get what? Their freaking token album that some studio's going to crank out for them.
Right.
And then what?
And
then they're like, well, they were a flash in the pan. It's like, no, you were a great singer.
Right.
It shouldn't be that this year's winner gets their album and then they're gone. It
should be like all those people
you know?
That were amazing should all, fuck, they all got it. Boom.
It's an art, you know, and it's,
those things are turning
it into.
It is. Well, that entire industry is just cranking it into the big old machine. It's so dumb.
Those people
should be doing awesome things with their lives.
Joe has spoken.
They should be doing amazing things with their lives.
I could go on.
It's like you don't need to be on that world stage and cranking out fucking these commissioned studio albums just to like be fulfilled. You should go find a job that you love to do, and if you can make music in a big city singing, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you could like if you find a job you want to do and just play shows once a week, just do that. Like whatever.
Now,
there's so many
Kelly
options. Clarkson, like,
if she got,
there's
if
so
she
many
went,
bands out there that would love to have a singer like you. Like
totally,
you can, go out there. And,
she
like,
went and sang at some jazz like bar.
Right.
She'd be looked at as a failure because look at her. She had it all. Now look at her. She's just singing in some jazz bar, some dive. Like
no, a lot
that's
of that.
She can't do that
at this point because she did that contest. She had to sign contracts. She is tied now. That's what kills a lot of those people.
All right. I want every podcast listener right now to take up arms. Grab your pitchforks and your shovels.
And torches.
Let's do this thing. Let's just
pickaxes.
Tear it down. Let's all sit around in a drum circle afterward and suck together and not know how to play instruments together. That's what it's about. That's my message.
Well, Zach,
hold that thought. So we're going to transition real nicely into some video game talkage because I know that you're a fan.
Yeah, video games have music.
Yes, they do.
Right?
They do contain music. I think Paul McCartney did a song for Destiny, a game that I was fond of for many months.
Yeah. Me too, until Bungie, actually, they made it way better.
I got nowhere to go.
Well,
there.
I feel like we're all, well, I don't feel like, I know we're all musicians, and I know that we're all gamers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Not everybody may know that.
Mm-hmm. I just realized that like 5 minutes ago.
Most people don't know about video games. It's kind of a new thing in Wyoming.
Right?
But, you know, I play video games.
But I do it.
There you are, man. Thank you, sir.
Well, who's going to be sitting on their thumbs for this segment?
Can I take a tiny, like, to-go box?
Absolutely.
I'm not ready to say goodbye yet.
It's like, yeah, who's going to be sitting on their thumbs for this segment? Oh, wait, none of us. We're all gamers.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys want to talk about video game
wise? So I saw your... Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, because I have one, too.
Question.
Uh-huh.
What's the game you love to play, but you're embarrassed to tell people about? Or is there one of those?
Animal Crossing. For the
nice.
I wouldn't be embarrassed about that at all.
I've never played it. I kind of want to now.
So in Animal Crossing, you wake up on this train and you get dumped off in this village. And this guy is basically like, hey, you can live in this house. Here you go. Oh, by the way, you owe me money for the house, so you have to work at my store. So then you work at his store and your job is basically like, oh, this person needs 6 apples. So you have to go find 6 apples and give it to him. And... so you pay off your house, and he's like, oh, just for you, I upgraded your house. Now it's 2 stories, and this is what you owe me. So you're just forever indebted into this.
It's a brilliant idea if you could actually do that to a
company store.
Yeah, basically, this guy, and you're just in this small town. And
but it is a very adorable game. It is really... it's really cute.
It's really fun.
Super cute.
It's
the only game that I ever played with my mother.
Oh,
so that's awesome, dude.
That's how cute it is. But that's my guilty.
But you owe your soul to the company store, kind of
thing.
Thank you. Just
do you have one?
The guiltily play? No, yeah. Because I play all of the nerdiest games with pride.
You don't even care.
Yeah, the fact that the fact that I didn't eat food and that I ate here on this podcast. Is due only to the fact that I was playing Pokemon Picross for like an hour and a half
before
I came here because that's what I do with my time.
Right on.
That's awesome.
And it was only because and actually I'm doing this this podcast. I'm ditching out on Ladies Night.
Oh yeah,
which is
right.
my dad and my two brothers and I. We play video games once a week. And
we call ladies night,
and we all make girl characters. It's the rule. You can't make a guy.
Great.
That is
and we play,
awesome, dude.
We're playing Diablo. Diablo 3. We're starting the new seasonal characters this time around, so I'm kind of blowing it because I'm not going to be here next week either. So they're pissed. They're pissed.
Oh, damn, Joe.
My dad, he's like,
not cool, Joe.
Don't they know about Ladies Night? Did you tell your boss about Ladies Night? What kind of bullshit is this?
Awesome.
I get an earful, dude.
Yeah.
Sean?
That's so cool, man.
Guilty pleasure.
Well, I'm just trying to think. I don't think I did play this one game for a while that I was embarrassed to be playing
because
it was fucking stupid. But it kind of sounded like Pokemon, but it started with a P. But you just like it's a weird Japanese game. God, those people can be just so weird sometimes. No, I don't mean those people. I mean, oh, our friends from overseas. With the eyes that are different from ours. Can be so strange. I mean, my Japanese friends made a strange game, and it's called, I don't know. You start with a couple, you're this little, almost gingerbread man-sized little figure in this huge room. Like, you'll start in a candy shop, and you'll start rolling around. And, picking up objects as you roll around.
Oh, it's like a Katamari.
Yeah, Katamari, dude.
Is that a phone game or what is it?
No, it's weird as hell.
What's
it's an Xbox game.
Xbox.
Oh,
okay.
But But like no, you, that's just, fu- that's you just like fun as hell. You just start picking up objects like a snowball. Like you'll just be rolling over. Like you'll start in a restaurant. And then
pretty soon you're outside and you're picking out like
what?
Tables. Pretty soon you get so big.
Just pick up as much shit as you can. You just roll yeah. into
that's
shit.
That's it.
And roll become a huge ball.
Huge. You become a huge.
Yeah.
Ball. Oh my.
Like a huge snowball. Like you it start is, this
oh,
big.
I have to see this
it's
now.
Grow. Super fun.
But like I guess a guilty pleasure though that I'm playing right now, which actually I don't have any guilt at all. It's Fable.
Oh,
and they're such great games. But, like, yeah they start.
No,
like,
Katamari was a good one.
Katamari
is
good.
Rolling in a ball and picking
yeah,
up stuff is
it's
a little
kinda,
different.
Yeah.
That'd be more guilty. What, do you have a guilty
yes,
pleasure?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I usually can't tell people. It's this really little kitty game, but I love Wizard 101.
Oh, yeah?
Stupid.
Is that on your phone?
No, it's a computer game. And it's
oh, okay.
Literally for a little kid.
She yeah. showed me at one time.
You
made
have
him
to,
play
like,
with me.
Yeah. solve addition problems to
no,
level up.
No. It's a quest game. So, I mean, you are going on quests and stuff, and you're a wizard, and I'm like, badass wizard. Remember, we talked about this.
I do remember you saying something.
You were like, oh,
this.
That's like World of Warcraft, but this is like the little
lowest of the low.
Kid.
She showed me at one time, and it's like, dude, it's like, it's...
It
it's
is.
Fourth grade style. It's hilarious,
it.
Though.
It's good.
Yeah,
it
is good.
It.
It's
it
good.
It makes me so happy. And I had to, like, cut myself off from it because it was becoming a problem.
Yeah, like, but, like, you, the way real. You played it, though, like, I was trying to get it. I was just kind of trying to
no
hone in on, like, kind of what it's about. Like, okay, what's this quest about, though? And you're just like, it doesn't matter. And you just, like, click
just
through all the shit. And it's you're like,
shut up.
It'll
like,
pop up on the
this,
quest menu.
Stop
you got to get, like, 10 pumpkin heads or something.
She's awesome. Every RPG player, like, 5 hours into the game. You always
yeah.
start
yeah.
off like, all right, I'm going to read this half page of dialogue.
Uh-huh.
No.
I know, dude.
I'm like, skip.
Yeah.
What's the quest?
Not me, but I love to just see if there's anything pertinent to the story before I start. Like, you know,
I'm like, this is a little kid's game. There is no.
Get into it.
Me too. I like to be immersed.
I like to read.
Me too. I do too.
Shit,
I like to feel like I'm in there, especially with Fable, like which I'm replaying again. I beat Fable 2 and 3 a long time ago. Fable 2 came out in 2008.
I'm playing Fable 1 again.
Well, I never did play Fable 1, dude, but they just put out the trilogy on Xbox
nice.
Live
yeah.
for
oh,
20
yeah.
bucks, so I downloaded, yeah,
you
20
can't
bucks,
pass that up.
Dude, and I just started to
Fable
1's again.
Only one I've played all the way through, and I just relished
try
every
it.
Dude,
cool.
Fable,
it's
so,
yeah.
so
yeah.
fucking good, man.
All of
and
them
like,
have been very good.
It's like,
yeah.
it's just story-oriented, I love it
yeah.
like that, and plus,
it's
there's,
like a
it's easy, like, in a way.
That's what I love.
Like, the gameplay, you don't need to know, like, how to necessarily even play video games very well, you just...
It's not a Dark Souls.
Yeah. Right, yeah, dude,
it's
yeah.
just like, you're not going to lose. Yeah.
What are you playing right
yeah.
now that's got y'all spruiked?
Oh, well, right now I'm also playing, and, like, I'm bouncing back. Like, when it's bedtime, I go to Fable, because I'm playing Dead Space.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so fucking intense, yes. dude. I swear to God.
The
it's,
first one, right?
Yeah, number
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And it's like, seriously, it's,
oh.
like, it's to the point where... I'm just like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to play. And
turn
then, like,
the TV.
And I'll be like, do
yeah.
I keep going? And I'm like, it's like I'm just, like, torturing myself, dude. I'm like, oh,
I
my
love
God.
It. I love
but
it.
I made it this far. I got to keep going. And it's just like, I could keep playing it all night long if I was. And then, like, I'm like, nope.
It's exhausting,
I'm gonna
man.
Pop. It is.
It takes
you,
everything
you
got.
You can't play it when, that's exactly right. And you can't play it when you're tired, man.
No.
Because,
no.
like. You just can't do it. You have to be fully aware. There's shit coming up from all sides. Like, you have to be awake
it's,
and alert.
So
and
I think the Dead Space games are scary until you get to a certain point
mm-hmm.
where you're just like,
you're
I've
numb.
Got the best gun.
Yeah.
You're all
I'm
dead.
Close.
It doesn't matter.
I'm
yeah.
close,
right?
dude.
The ones that are actually scary are where you can't do anything.
Like, Fatal
Outlast.
Frame?
Outlast.
Oh, Outlast.
I have Outlast. It's yeah. badass.
Yeah. I have yet to
yeah.
be
it
Outlast.
Is scary.
I'll play it with my wife every once in a while, and by
yeah.
play it, I mean we sit really close to the TV, I play with the controller, and she screams.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She holds
What's
the one half
on?
Of the blanket.
And Outlast is on
Xbox
One.
One.
I think
okay.
you can probably get it for 360, too. But in it, you just...
It's
you
so
have,
great.
A camcorder.
And,
right.
that's,
oh,
and that's your light.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you can do. And so if
and
someone
trying
comes to kill you,
stuff.
You have to, like, hide or run, or they
yeah.
kill you.
Yeah.
Oh,
is,
my God.
It's intense.
That's
and
how... So Fatal Frame was the first game I played that was like that.
Like
it was,
that?
Yeah, where you have a camera.
Yeah.
And have
but
you
you're,
played it?
No,
Frame
but
one?
You're... I want it... That's the one that's on Wii U that I want. That's a Japanese game you can't get on.
I don't know if it's on Wii U.
Well, they you can in Japan. You can't in America. Because
it's being family friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I want that on Wii U because I like the remote.
Yeah, because you can only – the thing is you can see these ghosts, but you have to look through your camera.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
And the only way – like the way that you fight them is by capturing them, taking pictures.
I want that game.
Cool.
That's horrifying. I want it bad.
That sounds awesome. It's good.
Yeah. But yeah, Outlast is intense because it's also like the point of view is like through the eyes. It's not like you're – above the body or anything. It's like, so you're like,
you never get
it.
Any weapons or anything?
No. And you have to go into dark areas, and the only way you can see in them is if you use the night vision on your camera, which uses batteries.
Right.
You have to find batteries around the place.
Dude, so that was a
you're
lot
like I don't want to turn on to see because I'm using my batteries, but I have to see.
Right. Yeah. Oh my god, that sounds way intense. That's great. That's kind of like Alan Wake, game that I beat recently. Yeah. But like, that might have been kind of a predecessor of that concept. But because that came out a few years or like 4 or 5 years ago. But that was
it was a little bit after that, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a lot. You know, like it's come a long
way.
Okay,
so I have
a
question.
Uh-huh. There's a two. Sorry, they just came out with a two.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
You have the Triforce wallet. What's the last Zelda game you played?
The last Zelda's
my favorite.
I have been out of Zelda because I got a Wii. That's my last Nintendo that I ever got.
So did you play Twilight Princess?
I did not. Wait, Twilight Princess is the one where you turn into a wolf, right? Yes, I did.
Okay,
play Twilight Princess.
So good on you there.
Get,
but you didn't play Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword is where I ended
up. Boo on you, sir.
But
because you're missing out.
I've heard.
And you have a wallet and you're not playing
but
Zelda.
I don't care because if I'm going to play Zelda, I'm going to play Link to the Past, Majora's Mask, and Ocarina of Time.
Okay, have you played A Link Between Worlds?
Maybe.
Do you have a 3DS?
No, I don't. No. So I haven't. I played.
What was your favorite Zelda?
Link to the Past. And
is
then,
that Super Nintendo?
Yeah,
that was mine.
So
I fucking can play that over and over.
A Link
and over.
Between
it makes
Worlds
me so happy.
Is the next game in that. You're playing in the same world. Dun 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 dun.
Yes.
You're in the same world. You're playing the same. It's just a different story that happens in that same world.
Really? Dude, you want to hear some Zelda songs?
It's so good.
On what console?
On the 3DS. Get one.
Brent Eckerson.
I think my son has one.
Okay.
I'll borrow it.
Borrow it. Borrow it. I will loan it to you. It is so good.
The Zelda games are super interesting because there's not one storyline. Mm-hmm. Because there's
I like that, too.
It's like a myth.
Right.
It's a myth told in different...
Dimensions, yes. That's why I love that game.
It's like... Link to the Past is one split. It's like, what happens if you succeed and what happens if you don't succeed? And different games came out of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And same with, like, Majora's Mask is a timeline of what would have happened had this happened.
Right.
So there's not one canonical story.
Yeah, it's its own.
So good.
Each Zelda game is its own.
Dude, do you guys know any of this the names of different songs in Zelda? Because, like, Willie D and Brent Eckerson... They play some Zelda songs that, dude, that I wish maybe I could just get on this podcast. But they play one called Terra, and like, dude, it is the most badass song.
Terra's from that's Wind Waker.
Okay,
Okay, so I have to.
They play it on two.
Favorite
guitars.
Zelda game is really tough because and that's Final Fantasy.
Oh, that is Final Fantasy. That's Terra
and
from
now
Final
Terra
Fantasy.
Makes more sense because isn't that a spell?
Yes. Okay, all right, yeah.
Terra's
but
a
then, but no, they play Gerudo Valley though. From that's another good tune.
Gerudo
though, dude.
Valley, yeah. So the HD remake of Wind Waker is that's the best Zelda game I've ever played. As far as like. Everything from the story to the visual to the gameplay and everything. The
Wind
Wii U gamepad.
Good. I never played HD though.
The is that the one with the whistle pad? And it takes you around?
No. This one
sails.
This is
the
big giant ocean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm
And you have the
of.
Wand, not the whistle. You have the wand.
Oh, it's the wand
and
I'm
have
thinking
to,
of.
Like, direct.
And that was on Wii.
GameCube.
That was on the GameCube.
Okay, that was GameCube.
And they did an HD remake, and the Wii U gamepad you never break from the gameplay. So your menu and your map and everything is right on there. Mm-hmm. So you can switch weapons. You can throw. I don't remember. You have like a grappling hook.
Yes.
You don't have the hook shot. You have the rope with the grappling hook.
Right.
You can throw the hook and start swinging, and then switch the boomerang to that equipment slot. And when you come off, you can throw a boomerang at the little electric guy and freeze him.
You don't have to pause and go to your menu.
It's damn. That's how that game is meant to be played
on the Wii U. You can do that.
Wii U.
Oh, I'm getting that.
Okay,
that's way cool.
I'll loan it to you if you want.
I'm gonna buy it.
Okay, buy it because it's the best experience I've had playing a Zelda game because of the whole thing.
And I've been playing A Link to the Past on the Wii U because they opened up where you can get the Super Nintendo games all the older ones.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are bent out of shape I already paid for
that
game.
They're bent out of shape, Joe.
Exactly. And I think that
it's not hard bullshit. For gamers to
you're,
get
you're,
bent out.
Exactly. You're telling me that $7 to relive some of the best moments of your life as a video game player?
Do you know how happy I was?
Get out of here.
You'll
spend $50 on a game that you've been waiting for that the developers ruined the month before it came out, and then you'll trade it in a month later because they fucked that one up. And you don't even think twice about it.
Like,
you
spend
$7 and buy Metroid and buy Zelda on your Game Boy.
Dude. And that's what Fable is doing for me right now. It's like, dude, this game makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I could just.
And that's what it's really about. To me, I think there's too much industry in the video game anymore. There's too much. Well, yeah, that looked good, but and they come out with video games too fast. They just crank them out of the machine.
Right, and now I'm seeing it like through my son's eyes because he's programmed differently. Mm-hmm. You know, his age range and stuff.
He expects DLC and day one patches to fix everything.
Yes, exactly. He can't wait for the DLC.
You ever blown in a cartridge? You know, to me, the quality, and this is why I always go. This is why Nintendo is kind of like this. Where I'll always be rewarded as a video game enjoyer.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to say gamer, because a quality game doesn't need resale value,
right?
Because it's a quality game, and you're not going to trade in. I'm never going to trade in Wind Waker. I'm never going to get rid of that game ever.
Right.
You know.
Well, that doesn't bring him any money, Joe.
And like there's so much of this like churning.
Yeah, that's
video games.
That's economic flow, dude.
And then
that's what causes places like GameStop to be in existence. And like,
give me a Metroid game, I that is going to be quality through and through, the whole way through it. Same with the Zelda game, you know. Same with the Mario game. It's ridiculous.
I could play Resident Evil 1 over and over and over, dude.
I played Resident Evil 6 for like 10 minutes. It was
terrible. I know, dude. It was awful, man.
Yeah.
That's way funny.
Yeah.
2 is not bad either, actually.
No, 2 is great. 3 is good. Mm-hmm. 4 is one of the best Resident Evil games they ever made.
5 wasn't horrible because you
wasn't bad,
you had the
dude.
Co-op, and I played that with my
Was 3 with the Mexican village? Like
That was 4. That was 5. 3 was the...
5 was
because 4 and 5 were...
Oh, the Mexican village.
Yeah.
5 was Africa.
Right.
Africa,
that's
right. 4 was the creepy cult.
Spanish village, I guess.
Village.
Yeah.
3 was Revenge of the Sith. Sorry, I got that in there way too late.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Would have been funny.
Star Wars joke. Had I got it in there at the time. Never mind. Another one of my addictions lately, as far as Wii U is concerned, is Mario Kart. Like, I can't. And I don't think most people can get into that for some reason.
Yeah, I just bought Mario Kart for the Wii. It's like,
I was like, if you tell me you have a Wii U, I'm going to do that.
Mario Kart on the Wii U is...
Dude, that game has been a staple for...
Bringing it to like the online aspect of things is just a whole nother.
That's been a staple of awesomeness for almost 20 years, probably. Like, the Mario Kart.
Mario Kart, just, it's a win.
It is. You can't lose, dude.
It's so good. It's
so good. I guess we better wrap things up with Zach. You got to get home.
Let's wrap it up with a blue turtle shell.
Sorry.
Every time. All right. Well, Zach, it's been a pleasure talking
about
this.
Thank you for having me.
Zach, thanks so much for talking life with us.
And if you're interested in lessons, please give Zach a call at Wyoming Music. He does teach, and he is the best.
And I teach pretty much anything with strings.
Awesome.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Everything do it.
Awesome. You're amazing, Zach.
Update your gray matter.
Right.
Practice.
Get your 10,000 hours in.
Practice. That's right.
And
practice Mario Kart, and if you're not going to do that, then practice an instrument.
And if you start a band with him, you can get lessons for free.